Today on Annenberg Radio News.
Presidential election. Yeah. You have to vote to be counted.
We visit the one and only early voting station in the city. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Thursday, October 25th, 2012. I'm Aaron Schrank. The Los Angeles Police Department arrested five people outside Citigroup Center downtown today. They were protesting undisclosed political expenditures by banks. Max Schwartz marched with the protesters and has that story.
Hey! Ho! Dark money is not to go!
The 99 Rise, an Occupy LA offshoot, marched from Pershing Square to Citigroup Center on Flower Street today. A large police and media presence followed the movement. About 20 marchers arrived at the building. Then one of the leaders entered the building and attempted to deliver a petition. Protester Lewis Preston had a $1 bill taped over his mouth. He took it off to say this.
We'd been targeting Citibank. Unfortunately, they've locked us out and we're unable to deliver our petition demanding disclosure of political expenditures. We're doing this as part of a movement to take back our democracy, to restore a dependency on voters rather than a dependency on funders.
The group delivered the petition to a representative of Citigroup, but they were forced out of the building and barred from returning. The movement then sat down in front of the entrance and used their human microphone to communicate their message, along with a banner and signs.
We will sit down here.
We will sit down here.
Preston explained why he's involved with the 99 Rise.
Because I see this as our best chance of restoring democracy. This is a root issue that if we don't solve other issues such as climate change, such as finance reform, are never going to happen.
By airtime, the Los Angeles Police Department could not comment on the situation, and Citigroup did not answer the phone. Max Schwartz, Annenberg Radio News.
The L.A. Metro Board of Directors is investigating the death of a 64-year-old woman in a wheelchair who died last week at the Hollywood and Highland Metro Station. Omar Shamoot was at the board meeting this morning to find out what's being done to prevent further accidents at train stations.
Brenda Carter fell to her death last week while she and her attendant tried to go up an escalator at the Hollywood and Highland Metro Station because the elevator was broken. MTA board members came under fire today from John Walsh, member of the United Rail Riders of Los Angeles, who claimed the problem was larger than this single accident.
The reason the elevator was broken and she tried to take the escalator is $1 billion, with a B, in deferred maintenance.
The LA Times reported last April that the county agency was facing a $1.3 billion maintenance backlog, involving mostly service vehicles and station repair. But some lines also needed more immediate repairs to tracks, signals, and passenger cars. MTA Chairman and LA County Supervisor Michael Antonovich said an internal investigation is underway to ensure its facilities are kept up to date.
We ought to know how often our elevators and escalators are not working, how many stations only have one elevator for disabled strollers and bicyclists, and what processes are in place to ensure that these elevators and escalators are repaired very quickly.
He also said the agency is evaluating the rapid response during the incident.
How long for the ambulance to arrive from the time of the injury, and was the victim given first aid before the ambulance arrived by MTA staff?
That process will take time, said MTA spokesman Mark Littman.
This could take weeks. I mean, they have to interview witnesses, they look at the surveillance cameras, they look at our whole procedures. There's a lot of issues that need to be investigated.
He explained the process is important not only for safety reasons, but also to discover better ways to communicate with disabled riders once a problem is identified through signs, announcements, and MTA personnel. Depending on what the investigation turns up, MTA's compliance with the Americans with Disabilities Act may be under the microscope. Paula Perlman is the executive director of the nonprofit Disability Rights Legal Center in downtown Los Angeles. She explained the ADA issues involved via cell phone.
It's not like if it's out of order for a day, it's out of compliance. But if it's out of order and they know it's out of order and they haven't taken any steps to repair it and they don't have a system in place to notify people or to keep track of the repair issues, then it would be an ADA violation.
The MTA does have a history, however, of failing to meet federal disability laws. Last year, the agency settled a lawsuit filed by wheelchair riders who were not properly secured by bus drivers. So time will tell if this incident opens the county up to more litigation. Omar Shamoot, Annenberg Radio News.
Today, federal authorities arrested 12 people in connection with marijuana dispensaries in L.A. and Orange counties. The chain of nine stores generated tens of millions of dollars, prosecutors say, but have been closed after search warrants were executed last year. The 12 arrested are among 14 named in a drug trafficking indictment last week. Funding controversies continue to face Proposition 32. The measure would ban unions and corporations from using automatic payroll deductions to finance political campaigns. A California political watchdog group has filed suit seeking the identity of an $11 million donation by an Arizona nonprofit. Denise Guerra has more.
The California Fair Political Practices Commission filed an injunction against an Arizona nonprofit this week for their $11 million donation to support Proposition 32 in California. The problem is, no one knows who financed that donation. The Small Business Action Committee in California received a donation from the Phoenix-based Americans for Responsible Leadership. But Americans for Responsible Leadership in Arizona hasn't published a list of their contributors. The FPPC says this transaction violates state law requiring a nonprofit to disclose the names of its donors.
My name is Ann Ravel. I'm the chair of the California Fair Political Practices Commission. Any individual or corporation or committee that participates in a California campaign is subject to the laws of California. Today, we went to court in order to require disclosing their donors.
Proposition 32 is meant to ban unions and corporations from using automatic payroll deductions to finance political campaigns. Opponents of Prop 32 held a news conference this afternoon with Phoenix City Councilman Michael Nowoskowski to discuss a possible Spanish language ad financed by the contribution.
So they're only spending a little over $500,000 in the Arizona election and propositions and that. How in the heck can they come up with $11 million for California, right?
The $11 million donation will provide needed funding to advocates of Prop 32, since the no on Prop 32 camp is shown to be leading by 53% in the polls. The No on Prop 32 campaign, backed by local unions and labor activists, said the initiative is not fair to unions who, according to a press release, use automatic payroll deductions to support workers in other states like Arizona. Denise Guerra, Annenberg Radio News.
A USC Dornsife LA Times poll released today shows that support for Proposition 37 has plummeted. Now just 44% of Californians support the measure on genetically altered food, down from 60% last month. Prop 37 requires food made from genetically altered plants or animals to be labeled as such, and it forbids grocers from labeling those foods as natural. Here's Stacey Malkin from California Right to Know, the Yes on 37 campaign.
Genetic engineering has only been around for about 20 years. No required safety testing in the United States. Many people are concerned or have questions about it. Labeling is standard procedure all around the world. 61 other countries already require labeling.
There are some exceptions. Restaurants and all alcoholic drinks don't have to label. Opponents say the measure would increase a family's grocery bill by about $400 per year. They also cite several hundred studies arguing that genetically modified foods are safe.
Well, I think people need to realize that this is going to be very expensive. It's going to lead to a rise in food prices for everyone, even people who buy foods that aren't genetically engineered.
The No on 37 coalition has raised about five times as much as money on the Yes side. Tonight marks our first Santa Ana Winds event of the year. It'll be gusty until tomorrow morning. Tomorrow has a high of 86 and a low of 58. The weekend will be warm too. Highs of 88 and lows of 61 both Saturday and Sunday. Later on Annenberg Radio News, we'll talk to the Don Draper of LA Metro. Hate crimes went up 15% in Los Angeles County in the last year, a total of 489 incidents. 2010 and 2011 have been the two lowest years for hate crimes since 1990. The LA County Commission on Human Rights thinks about half of these crimes were racially motivated. White supremacists committed about a fifth of them, and gangs, about 12%. The election is just 11 days away, but voting is already underway. President Obama cast his ballot today, voting early in his hometown of Chicago. Thousands of voters in Los Angeles have already cast their ballots as well. Catherine Davis went to the LA County Registrar today to find out about LA's early voting options.
Los Angeles County is the biggest and most diverse voting jurisdiction in the country, with about 4.6 million registered voters.
We're really kind of an anomaly. We actually have more registered voters than close to 40 of the 50 states in the nation.
That's Dean Logan, the LA County Registrar Recorder. His office in Norwalk oversees all of the voting in LA County. California is one of only 32 states that offer early voting, and Norwalk is the only place in LA County where voters can cast their ballots early. LA County used to have about 15 sites for early voting, until concerns were raised about the security of the touchscreen computer systems that voters used there. So in the 2008 elections, early voting was limited to just one location. Voters who come in early no longer vote on a computer. They just fill out a form like they would if they were voting by mail. Voters cast their ballots early for a variety of reasons.
I won't be in town.
Well, we'll actually be out of town.
Well, I had an absentee ballot and I kind of messed it up, so I had to come in and get another one, so I just voted while I was here.
Logan says, of the voters who show up early,
you know, I think it's a pretty broad cross-section of our electorate.
And even though the groups that come in to vote early are diverse in terms of age, ethnicity, and political opinions, there is one major trend.
The people who would go to early voting locations are pretty consistent voters.
Logan says early voters are the kind of people who will find a way to vote no matter what the options are, and election to election, those options change.
I do think we have to pay attention to changing voter behaviors, and I think the public in general has a higher expectation, and future generations have higher expectations of there being options for voting. So I don't think the future holds one specific manner of voting.
Whichever method voters choose to get their vote out, Logan says he expects a strong turnout this year, and voters have many reasons for getting to the polls.
Well, it's a priority as far as this election and making sure that the other propositions is out. But I have a say.
It's a presidential election.
Yeah.
You have to vote to be counted.
About 2,500 people have already come to Norwalk to vote early. Logan says that number will probably pick up this weekend and next weekend. The Norwalk Early Voting Station will be open every day through November 6th. Catherine Davis, Annenberg Radio News.
The corner of 27th Street and Central Avenue in South L.A. was renamed today in honor of Dr. Bassett H. Brown. Brown is the CEO of the Central Neighborhood Health Foundation, a clinic on the square's corner. He started there as a physician's assistant in 1967. The clinic served 300 patients a day during its peak in the mid-70s. Today, it provides primary and preventative services to uninsured or low-income neighborhood patients. Tonight, advertisements used by L.A. Metropolitan Transit Authority will be on display in a graphic design exhibit at the Hammer Museum. Rosalie Murphy talked with Metro's creative director, Michael Lejeune, about rebranding the city's transportation system over the past decade. One move he's most proud of, those bright orange buses.
We approved the service. We painted the buses, which was probably one of our biggest
wins, if you will, for the Klan, because all of a sudden these buses, which there were 23 or 2,400 of them driving around town, but they were white, and they kind of disappeared into this landscape of lots and lots of cars and delivery trucks and vans. And instead we thought, we want these buses to pop right out like they're jewels or, you know, candy. And so these bright California poppy-colored buses and the bright red buses and even a few of the blue ones, these are, this is what we did that really sort of signified, wow, they're Metro is everywhere, you know.
And now in the work of making Metro cool, why do you think Metro seems uncool in the first place?
Well, I don't know that it seemed uncool. I think we weren't doing a lot of talking. I mean, I know that there was a lot of service out there, but Metro wasn't necessarily reaching people. I know that when I started, our ad budget was, decent, but not all that big. And one of the first things that Matt Raymond did was to say, we need to be out there more. You know, we need to make our case more. And the ad budget, I think, sort of quadrupled within a year. So all of a sudden, you have billboards around town, you have shelters, you have radio. All of a sudden, people are hearing about Metro. And that happened in combination with a whole new way of talking to Los Angeles, a way of kind of branding this idea as if it were, you know, a product like iPods or, you know, or whatever it might be. And so we really went after a really fresh approach and a very conversational way of talking. A little bit of humor, a little bit of reflection of you know, who LA is and how varied we are.
I'm just curious, you said you hadn't ridden the bus in years when you started working with Metro. How do you reach out to people, you know, like yourself?
Well, I had done a lot of commuting. I drove 2 hours a day for most of my adult life to get to jobs for left side of town if I was living on the east side. And I was a really good test case for, you know, somebody who kind of grinned and bore it and thought, I'm never going to get that time back. And so when I started at Metro, it was really interesting to me to think about how we could talk to people like that.
LAPD Charlie Beck said in a memo today that 160 employees could be laid off by the end of this year. Beck says the layoffs include an administrator, secretaries, and typists, but no officers in the field. Mayor Villaraigosa has warned LAPD to lay off workers to avoid making the city's budget deficit bigger. It's predicted the deficit will be around $216 million next fiscal year. And now we check in with Kim Leffler to see what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision. Kim?
Thanks, Aaron. Tonight, the Annenberg School will accept the 2012 AEJMC Equity Award. We talked to Geneva Oglethorpe and Dean Wilson, and we will be live tweeting from the ceremony at 6:30 tonight. More coverage will be on our website after the event. We talked to students for today's What Matters segment. What traits do you think are most important in a presidential candidate and why? And we went to the Tournament of Roses Royal Court Coronation Ceremony in Pasadena. It's all coming up tonight on Annenberg TV News at 6.
We talked a lot about the election this month, and the wait is almost over. So after casting your vote on November 6th, tune into our website, annenbergradio.org, for live election night coverage from 6 to midnight. Well, that's it for this Thursday. We had help today from Sam Weiser. Rosalie Murphy is our producer. And for all of us at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Aaron Trank. We'll be right back.